as has already been mentioned, Alan Connor has laryngitis, and Dwayne Boland is in Lawton filling in. So we flexed, and it's a great privilege to be a part of a congregation with as many good Bible students and Bible scholars as we have. I don't know how many seminary graduates and Bible school graduates we have but in this church, but there's more than you realize. This morning, Joseph Palmer will be leading us in our meditation, our sermon. Joe has a full-time job, and I think he would consider it a ministry in that he works at Bott Broadcasting, KQCV, and the other radio stations that Bott Broadcast is on. Our church is a kind of a partner in a special program that Bott has. And Joe gets to promote the gospel in a number of ways. And he can share with us a little about that if you are not familiar with that. But Joe agreed to share with us this morning some passage out of Colossians, I believe.
A number of passages.
But he's been working on. So, Joe, thank you. May God bless you.
Thank you, Alan. I appreciate your work as well and the sacrifices you make and the things you do for the church body. You know, it's a funny thing about working at a Christian radio station. We have to monitor the signals as they go out so that if one goes off, we can do what we need to do to get it back on the air. And so we have it piped into the building at different ends. So our 95.1 FM signal is at one end of the building where my office is, 95.1 and 94.1. And then if I go get a cup of coffee, I'll hear what's playing on 800 AM or FM 95.7 or 102.3. It's all the same. So I get them both. And it's interesting to me what the Lord does for me through that, because I hear it all day. Okay, I can block it out at sometimes when I have to work, but I hear that message in the hall every day. And maybe this has happened to some of you, perhaps, that listen to our station, but all of our teachers, including John MacArthur, Alistair Begg, Erwin Lutzer, David Jeremiah, any of them, they all ministered to me at one point or another, even the ones, don't tell Alan, even the ones that are not Reformed, have blessed my life. Even J. Vernon McGee. And perhaps some of you have experienced this. And I tell you, it really does happen this way. May I say to you, Joseph Palmer, you were harsh with your wife last night. The Word of God says, do not, husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them. You need to repent and tell her you're sorry. And then, if you do that, God will richly bless you, my beloved. That's exactly what I heard on the radio. I tell you. But one thing that's been on this week is Family Life Today has been talking about gratefulness. And they've put it in a way that I hadn't heard before. And it blessed me. I started immediately writing notes. I stopped whatever I was doing, whatever project it was, and started taking notes. I have a little bit of flexibility to be able to do that with a good conscience. And so when Alan called me last night, there were several things that came to mind, but that was one of them. And I'm not doing what we talked about, but I did text Alan, and he said, Alan Connor said it was okay. So they're talking about gratefulness. And given the timing and the season, I'd like to share a little bit about that. First, I'd like to soak in the scriptures a little bit, and I'm going to read a number of scriptures here that have to do with gratefulness. And the message really is about why we should live grateful. In fact, it's four reasons why we should live grateful. And this is not an exhaustive list by any stretch. All of you could add to this list an infinite number of reasons. But Let's start with Psalm 136. And feel free to turn there, but I'm kind of going to go through these rapid fire, so I'll read them to you. Psalm 136, verses 1 through 5, then I'm going to skip down to verse 23 through 26. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him alone who does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. And skipping down to verse 23. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever. He rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. Moving now to Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now Colossians 3, verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now in Hebrews 12, verse 28, therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Back to Colossians chapter 2. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Psalm 118, 24. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And the last passage is from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart, or with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, why is gratitude important? I'm going to share four reasons, and again, not exhaustive, but four reasons to live grateful. Number one, gratitude is important because at its core, a grateful heart is a heart that trusts God. I'm going to make the case that it is an expression of faith in Him. How many of us want to increase our faith? And maybe, absolutely. And maybe it's not the easiest thing to always grab a hold of. And as Job taught us this morning expertly, oftentimes that happens through experiences in our life, of course. But I'm going to make the case that there's a way that if you live grateful, that you can intentionally, within this hard-to-manage thing called your soul, this immaterial part of you, and me too, that is like a herd of wild horses, very hard to restrain, but living grateful can be kind of a harness you can put on that and guide it in the direction you want to go. Philippians 2, 14 through 15 says, do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. How many of us have seen this kind of thing in our homes, maybe as we're raising our children, this grumbling and complaining. I've had my children, maybe you have too, memorize that verse, expecting that it's going to be a miracle cure, perhaps. Oh, you memorize that verse, it'll be in your heart, end of the grumbling right there. And has that ever worked for anybody? No, it didn't work for me either. Although I do see progress in my children. This is no slam on you guys back there. So, but it does make me wonder, what must God feel when I do this to him, when I cross my arms and furrow my brow and stomp my feet and I say, you know, that's not what I wanted in life. That's not the way I wanted it to be. Maybe I don't do it physically or dramatically. Maybe it's just in my heart, which is here, of course, not here. In my heart, my thinking, my head. In my heart, I'm just unhappy, and I'm just ungrateful for what's going on. You don't have to always stomp your feet. You can be ungrateful in your heart and not express thanksgiving to God. I don't think God likes it with us any more than we like it with our children. So in a sense, gratitude is a choice. My children were choosing to complain or gripe at one point or another. Being thankful is a matter of obedience. It is a muscle that needs to be exercised. A lot of you exercise. So our faith in that gratitude, as we do more of that, is going to at the same time help strengthen our faith. So our hearts choose thankfulness or they choose complaining. So even though I had my kids memorize the verse, it was still their choice, and they were either going to complain or gripe, or they were going to be thankful. And the same is true for us. So if you turn to Colossians 2 once again, we see that this passage connects faith and gratefulness. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Established in the faith, abounding in thanksgiving. John Piper has said this: gratitude is past-oriented dependence, and faith is future-oriented dependence. Both forms of dependence are humble, self-forgetting, and God-exalting. If we do not believe that we are deeply dependent on God for all that we have or hope to have, then the very spring of gratitude and faith runs dry. And as John Piper points out, faith and gratitude are connected. If we're not grateful, I would argue we're not expressing faith. So it stands to reason if we increase our gratitude, we increase our faith. The second reason that I believe gratitude is important is because it contributes to our good mental health. Which of the life challenges that Job has been talking about in Sunday school and blessing us with that material for a number of weeks now, which of those would not benefit from our souls living grateful? So let's think for a moment about Philippians 4, 6 through 7. In light of anger, depression, and addiction, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We see here that gratefulness is tied up in the remedy for anxiousness, which is the peace of God. Gratefulness is an integral part of how we experience the peace of God. Is it even possible for someone to simultaneously experience the peace of God described in Philippians 4 and also be unrighteously angry or depressed or irresistibly drawn to addiction? I can't see how it would be. So God, in his goodness, which we talked about and Job was talking about earlier as well, which we've sung about this morning, has given us something specific we can work towards in our soul, which can be so often difficult to manage minute by minute, easily distracted, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the one I love. So if we increase our gratitude, we, I would argue, increase our ability to be mentally healthy. And I think everybody wants that. A third reason gratitude is important is because God commands us to be grateful. You know, maybe I should have put that first on my list. We don't need to ask questions. There doesn't have to be any other reason besides that one, does there? God says it, we do it. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says always, not just when I feel like it, not when it feels good and circumstances are the way I want them to be, but always. So there's no wiggle room there. I couldn't find any, and I'm always looking for it, trust me. Then it also says, for all things, not just the good things, not just the pleasant things, but the things we may not like, the things we don't understand, the things that are difficult and hard and disappointing. So here's another command in Colossians 2:6. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So clearly, God wants us to give thanks. Why? Because it expresses faith in him that he knows what he is doing, and he always acts in good toward us. His intentions are always good, always kind, and they're always loving. And the fourth and final reason, fourth reason of many other reasons, that gratitude is important is that God regards complaining as a serious offense. In the book of Numbers, chapters 13 and 14, I encourage everybody to read that. There's the story, of course, of how the Israelites did not believe God after the spies came back from spying out the land, but instead they complained against him. They chose fear instead of faith, and they rebelled against him. Not all of them. Of course, Caleb and Joshua did not, but the ones who did, they had some consequences brought upon them. The spies who went into the land and found everything and came back, the ones who grumbled, the Lord ended their lives right there. And the generation that was doing the grumbling amongst the people, they were forced to go back into the desert and wander another 40 years until they all died. And the next generation came in to inherit the land. And there may be others. The only other time I can think of where the Lord immediately ended someone's life directly was Ananias and Sapphira for lying to the Holy Spirit. And so here's another case. And they were grumbling and complaining. So clearly, God is not pleased with grumbling. It does not make him happy to hear his children complain constantly. And being grateful, of course, is a choice. It's not a feeling. It can be, but it's not dependent on our circumstances. It doesn't have to be, as we clearly see in a positive example. In the pilgrims' lives, which we always talk about in Thanksgiving. But I'm always fascinated by those stories, and that's another area that's typically talked about by teachers. A lot of the teachers on our station from all over, and every year I'll always learn something I didn't know before and have an example of that I can apply to my own life. But one sense is that they believed God was in control. Providence, they called it. They responded to the circumstances in their lives, and they were tray harsh and with an attitude that said, God has allowed this for our good. So gratitude is an expression of faith in God and who He is and what He is allowing in our lives. And grumbling is evil because it says my wishes and my desires are more important than God's wishes and God's desires. And that's why God punished the people of Israel for 40 years, because their intentions were, I want my way, I want what I want, I don't want what you want. And He had to make an example of them. And it even interprets that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, talks about it and explained that they are an example to us of how God feels about grumbling and complaining. Grumbling is a lack of faith in God's providence and His goodness. So in conclusion, I have shared today four of many reasons why gratitude is important. And number one, gratitude is an expression of our faith and serves to increase our faith. And living grateful improves our mental health, helps us be able to more deftly deal with the challenges of life. And in doing so, if we're more able to easily do that, doesn't that free up headspace for kingdom work on the earth for a weaker brother who might not be at the level where he can overcome that challenge at that time? So it frees us up to for the kingdom work that God's assigned to us while we're here. And number three, God commands us to be grateful. And He also regards complaining as a serious offense. So what if, as a takeaway, what if while we enjoyed all the trappings of Thanksgiving with gratefulness, including football or whatever goes along with your family situation, what if we also made it a celebration and reminder of all the benefits of Thanksgiving so that we're motivated every day going forward by that and by God's command to live that way on a minute-to-minute basis, which, of course, I'm not capable of outside the grace of God. But let's celebrate that, focus on it, and use that as we move forward. And I'd like to close, and I know it's the third time I've read it, but it's worth it. I'd like to close with this scripture, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, my mind is hard to focus. It's hard to make myself be grateful minute to minute. These herds of wild horses, help us. Will you please help us? It's hard to sometimes even see past the noise in our lives, and it's hard to look at life with your perspective when we're feeling pain in one way or another, whether it's emotional or physical but Lord, break through that. You're so good at breaking through that. You've done it so many times in the Old and the New Testament. Break through that into our hearts and help us to live grateful among the many other qualities you're cultivating in us. And I pray we would experience all the benefits of that, all the blessings that go along with the increasing our faith, and that you would shine as a light through us to the world
I mean, our church is getting ready to do an evangelistic outreach, and I pray that you'd prepare us even now for that, that our lights shine even brighter in our local community here as we reach out. And you'd bring fruit to those efforts, and I pray that the fruit would extend into our immediate families and our extended families, and that you would graciously conform us to the image of your Son. And we know you'll be faithful to do that. We pray that you keep our congregation safe through the week. Bring us back next week. And once again, we pray that Alan's voice would and his health would improve, and he'd be back with us next Sunday. And let our lives be lights for you in the coming week. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.